Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. First hour flying by. Man, we're having a great time here. Talking fishing with Captain John Conniff of the Islander. Been a great show this morning, and we want to hear from you if you want to join us on this second hour, man. We're having a great time. Lots to talk about, and, boy, lots of fun, huh, Corey?
A lot of fun, yeah. The number to give us a shout, talk to John Conniff from the Islander, is 213-432-1090. You can text the through the app, text a comment or a question. But by calling 213-432-1090, you have your chance of winning an awesome Seaguar fluorocarbon assortment. Pink, yeah. Gold, and blue label.
Lots of great stuff going on, and including the Catch Report. And we're going to find out what's going on in the Catch Report today. Sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch, but now with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoke and jerky fish, their spices, rubs, smoked cheese, and their famous tuna burger. Also, that amazing pokey kit. Hey, they're now all the way open at their new Old Town location on Taylor Street. Call for details or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And let's start it off with our buddy Captain Mark Wish, our private boater buddy. He's on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Morning, Corey. Morning, John. Well, it looks like we survived another major wind event here. Boy, this one was the real deal. It was gusting 56 at Santa Barbara Island here the other night. We had a customer in Thursday afternoon kind of bemoaning the fact that his tuna trip had gotten canceled for that evening. And, you know, and then Friday morning, I was thinking about him when I was looking at the buoy reports. The weather buoy below Clemente, right there in the tuna zone, right where he might have been, was 12 foot at 12 seconds, and it was 29 just and 38. So,
wow.
Man, that's ugly. And that's why the fleet rightfully canceled. So, you know, just the way it is sometimes, guys. But it's getting better, though. This morning, the buoy was only 7 foot at 7 seconds, and it's only blowing 16 gusts and 22 right now. So it's coming down. It's getting better.
Well, this is going in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, thank God. I wish it'd stay that way for a while. But, you know, before the weather, guys, no, yep. Catalina's been struggling a little bit. There's still some nice, great sea bass on the bait ground, big ones actually, but not a whole lot of it there. And that water down east getting really funky. It's like some weird upwelled, murky-looking stuff with a lot of salts and pyrosomes in it, just ugly. And the bait zone there, backside east, you know, off the Palisades like that, the squid zone there, very little bait in there right now. And then the ironbound cove zone up west there is also kind of dried up, but it looks like the little bit that's left around for the moment is in that Ben Weston sector there. You can make a little bait when the weather straightens out. At San Clemente Island, you know, again, for the weather, it was looking really good. Lots of yellows on the front side there, and nice grade, too, mostly 15 to 25 pounders with even a few bigger ones mixed in. And it was biting a surface iron, biting a yo-yo jig, and biting a sardine. And I had some friends on a boat with a sonar and tanks of live squid, and they slid over one of those schools and throwing dippers, and oh boy, those yellows went nuts over it. It was wide open. They hung a whole boat there. It's fun stuff. Offshore, there's been so much that bluefin tuna around, you know, such a huge spread from way below Ensenada all the way up to Clemente. And what's interesting is some of that stuff has even slipped up past Clemente. There was fish seen, some of that 40 to 60 pounder jumping around, seen and caught all the way up towards the Osborne Bank here, this just before the wind there. So that's a big spread from Santa Barbara Island all the way down to however far it goes there. So we got a ton of fish around for this time of year, And as soon as we get the break in the weather, let's get back after it. Man, it's going to be game on, guys.
I like your thinking, Mark.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Mark, certainly a great report and always such great information with FishCope.com there. Somebody can save $20 off of a new membership to FishCope by using the code HOOKUPNOW. HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase with no space, saves you $20 on a new membership. And, Mark, if somebody wants to find you at Pacific Edge, how do we do it?
Well, Ricky, we're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger in Huntington Beach. The phone number at the storage area code 714-840-4262, and the website is PacificEdgeTackle.com. And like I say, guys, get that gear together. It's time to go fishing. We got a ton of fishing around.
Good call, buddy. Appreciate that very much. Great report, Mark. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
All right. Thanks a lot for that. Well, while we're waiting for Marcos to get rolling here, we had another great text come through. It says, we're going on the Labor Day trip with John, as we do every year. We love him and the crew, but it's been a little while since we've seen him. We're wondering who is on the boat as your second captain now. That's from Sean Price.
Peter. Peter Macy's our second captain. He actually ran the boat quite a bit toward the end of the year last year. You know, our Guadalupe shark diving season, the plug got pulled because of COVID down there. So I was able to fish lobster full-time, which is great, and Pete was able to run the boat.
Cool.
And just do that instead of the shark diving thing. So that is where our second is. I do expect him to run the boat quite a bit this year. He's earned it, and he did a fantastic job at the end of the season last year. Savvy guy, good fisherman, and very, very good at keeping the boat running well. That being said, I'm not sure who's going to be running the Labor Day trip. I usually run that one, so I could see myself running it again this year. But definitely look to see Pete at the helm a bit this year.
Pete's been doing a great job, too. Again, you know, we talked in the beginning of the show about how much boat work you've been doing. I know we've been seeing him down there, same deal every day. Like, you guys have really been grinding, and seems like a great guy and a really good member of the team there.
He's great. Very, yeah. Very nice guy, too. I'm lucky to have him.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, hey, appreciate that very much. Another text came through. This was from Travis in Corona. It says, last weekend on the American Angler, I had 4 back-to-back bites on 100-pound class bluefin. I was fishing 28 pounds of drag on a 130-pound rod and a flat fall that I put a big J-hook on the bottom. I pulled the hooks on all 4. What do you think I was doing wrong?
You know, that's real tough to say, having not been there. I know bluefin, you know, you don't necessarily have to be doing something wrong to have that happen. Tough to say, man. I mean, my typical advice to guys fishing with that flat fall, you know, is you're letting it out, and once that thing stops going out, you put it in gear and wind, and don't do anything besides that. I've definitely seen it where they get it in their mouth and you know, maybe the guy's not quick enough on the handle to start turning. I mean, those things, once they realize it's not a fish, they shake their head and they try to spit it out. So, I've seen what I think is that scenario before. Not saying that you did that.
Sure.
Sounds like you know what's up with your tackle and everything.
I have a thought, too, and it's when you said that you have 28 pounds of drag. That is a ton of drag pressure.
That is a lot of drag.
Now, granted, you have very heavy tackle, and that's... I think that 28 pounds is a very appropriate amount of drag to finish a fish off on that heavy a tackle, but I don't think that that's where you should start with. And I think that having that much drag at strike even is fine, but I think be aware of, like, 28 pounds on paper doesn't sound like that much, but if I recommend this to everyone, you know, if you're just hanging out in the garage for the weekend, take one of your big reels and put a scale on it and bring that thing all the way up to 28 pounds of drag. When you pull line off that thing, it is a ton of drag pressure.
It's beyond man style. That literally, to try to pull the drag off at 28 pounds is a feat.
It's kind of good to know about it because, you know, you see internet things and people talk, I fish 40 pounds of drag. Like, that is so much, it's hard to believe. And I don't think that 28 is an inappropriate amount when you've got a big fish that's hooked well, that's straight up and down.
The second half of the fight, like
exactly,
you're mentioning.
Yeah, I think that you're all good, but just realize that you're fishing a ton of drag pressure, and when you get a bite, just put your lever up halfway or three-quarters of the way, but like let him take a bunch of line and get settled in. And those bluefins, they're head shakers, and they're all kinds of things, and they're a little more squirrely when you first hook them, and they don't circle circle nice and flat like a yellow. So my thought might just be that. Maybe that you're, and again, impossible to say without knowing what happened when they pulled in the fight, if it was at the very end. Sometimes maybe you just got to chalk it up to done luck. But that was one of my thoughts, is that's a lot of drag pressure, which isn't a problem on heavy line, but you don't necessarily need to give it all of them right off the bat.
I like your answer, Rick. And I think on top of that, with an inappropriate rod, you know, too stout of a rod, too, could
yeah,
could add compound to the issue, too.
Let him have some.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A 100-pound fish is not meant to just eat a hook and wind straight into the boat and put a gaff in it. They gotta let them burn some. And I like that. I mean, let a big one go. Like, I have no problem. I like to fish that way. I like to fish with a lot of drag pressure, but I don't get to it all right away. Like, when I get a bite on big fish tackle, I'll push the lever forward just a little bit, a quarter way there, and let him take a bunch of line and burn it all off. And as soon as those things slow down, then you can get up and start putting a lot more pressure on them. And I think, you know, letting that fish get away from the boat, you're just away from the tangles. They're expanding a whole bunch of energy, peeling line off, and, you know, slow them down with the rod and, you know, half your drag pressure kind of thing. And then once they get away from the boat and settled in, then start putting the heat to
it. There's some technique to it.
Yeah.
I like it, Rick.
Yeah, all good. Well, hey, let's continue with our catch report. We got our man standing by, Corey.
Hey, good morning, Marcos. Marcos from on the radio from C4 Sport Fishing.
Yeah.
Good morning.
How you guys doing this morning?
What's up, Marcos? We're doing good.
Well, unfortunately, we've had a little bit of weather over the last couple of days here, so the report's going to be a little bit sparser than usual, but we do have a couple boats back out there today. The new C4 is back out. San Diego's out fishing down at the islands. But earlier in the week, the half day, very good calico bass fishing. The high point of the week is probably Thursday afternoon, 120 calico bass for 24
wow.
guys. So it's kind of hard to argue with that. Before that, the catching in the 60s, 70s there. The San Diego, very good yellowtail fishing. Had a couple bluefin, some bonita in the mix there. Those overnight trips, still catching bluefin and yellowtail. And once this weather settles back down, we should be going back to normal. So, said unfortunately a little shorter report than usual there because that weather kind of shut us down the last couple of days here. But from what we've seen, still very good fishing. That weather's going to clean up, and we'll get right back out there. And, you know, I don't think that's enough to bring the season to grinding halt here. So we should get right back into that good fishing. Check out the website for those upcoming trips on the half days, the full days, those one days, day and a half. Definitely imagine some more trips here. But especially on those full-day trips, make your reservations as far ahead as you can. Those are filling up pretty quick. And don't wait till the last second. You know, it's just going to be a disappointment there. But in other news, we have the Friends of Rollo tackle sale this morning. This afternoon at 1 o'clock there. They're setting up right outside here, and they're going to have a bunch of gear there. So definitely make your reservation. Come down and visit us. Get some food next door at the Royal Rooster, some great food there. And check out some of the tackle there. So I'd love to get you guys down here.
That's going to be a great event and a great call, Marcos. It's officially from 1 to 5, and there is so much good gear. We've talked about on the show, like, Fisherman's is a drop-off location, so I've got to see just a fraction of the stuff that people have donated, and it's basically just a giant used tackle sale, and the guys are very generous with the prices. They're not trying to keep the prices high where they gain every cent. It's just a really good deal, and, you know, they want it all gone at a really good deal to the angler, and then every penny that gets raised goes to Friends of Rollo, and it's all taken kids fishing. So a great call, a great reason to come down to Seaforth, go to the restaurant next door, get some great grub, and hang out for a great day. And, you know, with the fishing should probably not happen today, no reason not to come down to Seaforth Sport Fishing and score a deal on that used tackle. Again, 1 to 5 today at Seaforth.
I can't imagine how busy that's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be
really
cool.
With the boats off the water, and like you're saying, man, the amount of the level of tackle, Rick, that's going to be there, you know. And more importantly, you're supporting the kids, man. You're taking the kids fish, and that's the coolest part of the whole thing.
Marcos, go outside and vacuum up all the old Taddy 45s for me.
Well, they're telling me that you already cleaned out all the good gear when it came into Fisherman's Landing.
Yeah, but only the fisherman's stuff, so none of the other. No, I'm just kidding.
And then when you're down here, don't forget to stop in the tackle shop and pick up your MC swim baits, too.
No doubt about it. Marcos, great job. Appreciate the great report. Glad to hear there's some good bass fishing even in the wind. And I agree with you. We're going to get right back to it here next week.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
good,
that.
Good one for sure, Marcos. And that's sponsored by Terrafin Seat Surface Temps. Focus your offshore fishing in the productive areas by using Terrafin.com. Temperature, chlorophyll, and more. With your Terrafin mobile, you can download your charts and take it with you. On your mobile device, check out the new enhanced water contour feature, too. Terrafin is the professional's choice for the accurate information. Check terrafin.com.
All right. Well, hey, his ears must have been burning because we got Mike Lum on the line this morning from Captain Rollo's. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. You did a great job explaining everything and covering it. So that's what I was calling, was to remind everybody that today at 1 o'clock here over at Seaforth, and we're setting up right now, and it's going to be a wonderful day. And thank you for all the generosity of everybody that donated, and all the guys that are coming out to buy this stuff so we can get more kids out on the water.
I think that that's the one thing that is worth mentioning again, is you're going to score, if you come down, you're going to score a really good deal on this tackle. It is priced very aggressively in favor of the in favor of the purchaser. Like, you're going to get a really good deal, whatever type of tackle you choose to purchase. And more than anything, all of the proceeds just take more kids fishing. It is the epitome of a win-win.
And I might mention also for the listeners out there that aren't totally familiar with this, we collect this tackle all year long. So if you have things at home, you have things in the garage that you haven't used in years and you just haven't gotten around to getting rid of it, keep us in mind. We're a nonprofit organization. All the donations get a receipt. You get a tax deduction if you choose to take it. And we will round this stuff up all year long, and we store it so that we can have a sale like this. And at the rate that product has been coming in, I would expect us to be able to do this twice a year. And that's going to be the plan going forward. So keep us in mind if you have tackle you want to donate, and give us a call.
You sell your aluminum boat, Mike?
Sold in 10 minutes.
That's
someone donated a really nice Gregor with a little 9.9 Honda. They donated it, did not have a trailer. We were going, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And we put it up on a couple of the social media sites, and literally 10 minutes, we had four people want it. So that was the quickest, most efficient sale we've ever had. But that kind of stuff really helps us a lot.
But a great thought for somebody out there, too. You know, if you've got that, I mean, it was a cool little skiff, but they, you know, whatever, retired or upgrading or whatever the scenario may be, they donated Friends Rollo, and now, again, a bunch of kids are going fishing, and it's something they don't have to deal with anymore.
And we all know a guy by the name of Dan that donated his huge Yeti cooler for the cause. And, Mike, it's not just rods and reels, you know, like you're saying. It could be a Gregor. It could be a Yeti cooler. It could be anything involved in the world of fishing, right?
We're surprised, honestly. Every year that we go through this exercise, we're always surprised at how creative people are and some of the things, how generous they are, things they call and give us that we can turn into money, and that's what it takes to take these kids on the boats. It takes about $30 per kid on an average to get them out on the water, and we've taken 140,000 kids on their fishing trip since this organization got formed back in 1999. So it takes money to make it happen, and that money comes from generous people who donate product and then people that come out and buy it.
Awesome. What a cool deal, Mike.
One more time, Mike, give us the number and the location if we want to get in the big used tackle sale today.
Well, we're at Seaforth Landing. We'll be here from 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock. I would imagine that the lines will start forming earlier than that, and that's fine, too. And Seaforth Landing, and we're sitting here overlooking all the boats, and you won't miss us if you come to Seaforth Landing.
Right on. Great call, buddy. I hope you guys have an awesome sale, and we'll look forward to hearing all about it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate the call very much, Mike. Well, the phones are packed up, Corey. I know everybody's dying to jump into it. Let's do it.
They are, Rick. Let's talk to Todd. Todd from San Diego. Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Todd.
Good morning, guys. Great show. Got a quick question for the Cap. My son and I are going out on the Islander trip. I think it's Let's Talk Hookup trip in late June.
All right.
It's our first time there. It's going to be a blast. We're really looking forward to it. We signed up so quickly, I didn't even think about asking, do I bring my kayak, or do you have kayaks? How does that work?
So the Let's Talk Hookup trip, Pete would be probably the one that would know all about that, but I believe that there are kayaks available through Fast Lane Sailing for you to use.
I think Ron will rent them, you know, if you didn't have your own. I think I've heard Pete talk about that. But
yeah,
bring your own. If you have your own, Todd, definitely if you're used to your own we'll call it a boat for the lack of, you know, if you have your own kayak to bring it.
Yeah, you know, and if you're looking to try out one of those Hobie kayaks, I would maybe just give them a call over at Fast Lane Sailing in Mission Bay, and you can talk to Ron, or I'm sure somebody else there knows about the trip, and just ask what the details are if you wanted to to use one of their Hobie kayaks. But don't be afraid to bring your own at all. You're more than welcome.
And Ron's going on the trip too. You know, yeah. So if you Todd, if you talk to Ron down there at Fastlane, he'd definitely give you the
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. Todd, have a great trip. Let me look forward to hearing about it.
Okay.
Appreciate
thanks,
the phone
Appreciate
call
it.
Very much. You got it.
All right. How about Hills? Hills from Ventura. Thanks for joining us this morning, Hills.
What's
good
up,
to
Hills?
Hear from you.
Good morning, guys. I'm glad you guys are talking about the range of gear that we're going to be using from basically 40 to 100 and at night even a little heavier. But I was going to ask John, can you I'm kind of confused about hook strategy. Can you talk a little bit about hook strategy? Because it seems like the hooks are so good now and strong, and it seems like they're somewhat smaller. And, can you just talk about hook strategy on these trips where you've got a chance from a 30-pound fish to a 200-pound fish?
Which is a great point, right? Because there's so many different manufacturers. I mean, we like Gamakatsu, but that's, you know.
Well, and like, sure. Yeah, like Hill says, I mean, you don't know when you're going if you're going to cast a bait at a 50-pounder or a 150-pounder, and the hook for one might not be the same for the hook for the other.
Or if it's 4-inch anchovy or if it's 6-inch sardine.
Yeah, I mean, bait plays a huge part in that. Obviously, you're not going to take, a 12-aught circle hook and then a sardine on it all that effectively. You know, and I would, obviously, in my opinion, circle hooks are the way to go, so I think that's what we're talking about here as far as this bluefin fishing. I would have a range of hooks going down to very small hooks to bigger hooks. A lot of this fish that we've caught the last couple of years, man, they get real spooky and line shy, and a smaller hook quite often is the ticket. You know, smaller than you would typically use, you know, like a 1-0 or a number one, or just a small hook, time after time, the guys that were getting bit consistently were using those smaller hooks. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, you're pairing the bait to the hook to some degree, and then you're just looking for that period of time where the fish are more reticent to bite, and then I scale down in my hook size. I mean, as far as strategy, you know, there's so many hooks out there on the market. I can tell you with this bluefin fishing, like we've had some challenges fishing with that real thin wire hook. Like we've snapped quite a few of those off. But again, there's so many hooks on the market. I would just make sure that you have a range of circle hooks from small to, you know, up to whatever, big hooks, you know, all the way up to 12-0 if you want to have a full range of
hooks. And that's the kind of thing, too. Like the bait can change today from what it was the last week, you know, and I know they've been catching Everingham. I mean, there's no bait company better than Sorry Mark and Paul. I know they're good too, you know. There's all up and down the bite here, there's good bait fishermen, and it could change, man. And I know they've had anchovy, they've had sardine, you know, and there might be a time where there's more chovy.
Yeah,
than
we're making mackerel one
right
night,
exactly,
know, and you're fishing with a big mackerel,
six,
right?
Or something.
Yeah,
there's been so much more small hook use, and we're certainly seeing in the tackle store, you know, 5 years ago, you never dreamed of catching a 70-pound tuna on anything less than a 2-0 or a 3-0. I mean, that was the only thing we ever used. We were talking about that last week, and now a 2-0 circle hook, you know, that's you look at that like, that's a big hook now, man. You know, what are you doing using a hook that big? I mean, so much more of the size 1s and 1-0s and even 2s and... But, you know, with that, too, there's a lot of stout wire number two circle hooks that do get the job done like they didn't before. So,
when you're trying to make that critical change that gets you more bites, you know, on any given day where you're trying to figure out, man, what can I do to get a bite here? Going down in hook size, to me, at least looking over the last couple of years, seems to be like one of those big game changers.
Okay.
You know, if you can scale down in hook size just a little bit, that was making a huge difference for a lot of guys.
It sounds like you kind of answered this, but what's a better move? You know, you're in that scenario, and it's harder to get a bite. Like, what's the better move, to move your hook size down or your line size down?
If you can move your hook size down and not touch your line necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a lot of situations, you got to move them.
Yeah, I know that's
down,
not a black or white answer, but...
Yeah, I mean... You got to try all of the above,
yeah.
I think. You know, if you could keep a little bit heavier line and get away with a smaller hook, that's cool. A lot of the time, you got to scale them both down, you know.
Good call. Hey, appreciate that. We got a good text that came through. This is from Kaylee from Chula Vista. So I'm thinking about taking my boyfriend on the Islander for Father's Day. Can you tell me about the rooms? Are they comfortable? Are there showers on board the boat? And what's the longest trip you guys have? Thanks, Kaylee.
All right, I'll go down the list. Yeah, the rooms are comfortable. The boat is laid out with 11 staterooms. There's some two-persons, three-persons, and four-person rooms. They're all air-conditioned. They all have sinks in them. And, yeah, I would call them comfortable.
They're very comfortable.
I actually had to measure one of the bunks the other day for a guy that's coming out who's 7 feet tall.
That's a lot of person.
It is. So I can tell you that the bunks are 6.5 feet long. But, yeah, I would call them comfortable rooms. As far as the bathrooms go, yeah, we remodeled those a couple of years ago. So we have really, really nice showers with each one's got its own hot water heater, and we make plenty of water every day. So those are there. Longest trip we do is a 5-day trip. But as far as open party trips, I think 3 days are our longest open trip right now. Did I miss any?
No, that's it, man. No, great. Yeah, well, good. Well done. I can assure you, Kaylee, too, we talk about the boat is. It's very, very comfortable. The food is very first class. It's something we haven't mentioned yet, but I do know, same thing, you guys really pride yourself. The chefs that you have on board are great. I mean, it's a very comfortable trip.
And on top of it all, I mean, it hasn't been talked about, really, except for the RSW, but your fish handling skills, all you had to say was you came from the Royal Star, from Tim and Randy, and that pretty much describes it, you know, your fish handling ability. And you still have the rubber mats?
No, you know, we got rid of those.
You did.
Yeah, I think, you know what, they were good at in their time. And nowadays, that new rubber decking,
know,
it does wonders for the deck. It's not the old days of like carborundum or you know, big gnarly deck rock anymore.
Yeah.
So that with that rubber, we were able to get rid of those mats, and every crew I've had since then is thanking me because they were over them.
What does that mean for somebody that doesn't know what you're talking about?
Yeah, so we used to have the whole back deck used to be covered in these half-inch or 5/8 rubber mats. I mean, literally the whole back deck. And, you know, so you'd catch a fish, and we'd gaff it and land it on the back deck, and it was like throwing it on a mattress. And it was a night and day difference from when you used to throw them on the, you know, the old rock decks we have. The fish before you, well, back in the day, a lot of us didn't even spike them back then. But before you'd spike it and the fish would flap around, it would just turn the whole side of the fish into hamburger.
It'd get all scratched up.
Yeah, and when we put the mats down, I mean, you'd put the thing in a dock cart at the end of the trip, and it looked like it was swimming a couple minutes ago. So that's why we did that. But you know what? Every year, everybody is trying to improve. So it's just another step in the evolution.
And not trying to improve, but everybody does improve.
Everybody does. Yeah, I couldn't tell you a boat right now here in this fleet that doesn't take excellent care of their fish. I mean, it's what people want, and it's, you know, at the end of the day, that's the product you go home with. And I think in this fleet, just about everybody now is kind of on the same page as far as bleeding all the fish, gill and gutting all that bluefin, spiking them right away. Fish holds that work efficiently and effectively.
It's truly a harvest, you know, and that angler is going out and harvesting a couple fish, and it's
totally
no better way to put it. It's a harvest, and you're treating it accordingly.
What I was getting at was that the non-skid material has changed. You know, that when you said rubber decking, you know, when somebody walks onto the Islander, they, you know, visually you might not know the difference, but where you used to put some sort of a, you know, heavy material in there to create the non-skid, that has since changed.
Yeah, I mean, we used to buy bags of abrasives, and if you tripped and fell on the deck, you'd rip your leg to pieces. But nowadays, and I think the material's still the same, it's basically chopped up tennis balls.
Mm-hmm.
So it's rubber granules, and, you know, we just did the deck a few days ago, and I can tell from being on my knees with a paintbrush cutting all the paint lines in that it's like wearing knee pads.
That's awesome.
It's really, really soft now, and that
still provides good non-skid and non-slip, but it's really soft.
It's soft.
That's cool. Well, hey, man, lots going on and lots to cover, boy. I dig all this info. It's really,
too,
really
Rick.
Cool. Yeah, great show.
I love it, and we're going to be right back with more from John Conniff and the Islander when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app and a Mightier 1090.
Are you looking for an ultimate fishing destination? Well, look no further than Queen Charlotte Safari's Lodge in British Columbia. This is Valerie Helbridge. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure, but a few of the highlights in fishing with us is the protected, calm, pristine waters for quality Chinook salmon all season. After you get your limits of salmon, Queen Charlotte Safari's will take you in our comfortable, covered, heated jet boat to our halibut, lingcod, and rock fishing areas, and we have larger retention than Alaska. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sunspit, and it's so easy to get to. You can fly from almost anywhere from the United States and Canada into Vancouver, then a short flight directly to Sunspit. Our trips are all-inclusive, full days of fishing, habitat processing, fishing license, and all your gear is provided. Let our expert chefs pamper you with amazing meals. Our staff delivers wonderful hospitality, all in your Queen Charlotte Safari package. So call me at 1-877-815-2892 or qcsafaris.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
It's time to go fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. The perfect rod to handle the toughest fish is Shimano Terramar. The secret? TC4 blank construction with Tech Tape outer wrap to shield the fibers from the impact damage. Make sure to match your Shimano Terramar rod with a Shimano Tranx 500. X-Ship and HEG technologies combine to provide the Shimano Tranx massive cranking power with a smooth and effortless retrieve. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will maximize your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day, full-day, and open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Are you looking for an ultimate fishing destination? Well, look no further than Queen Charlotte Safari's Lodge in British Columbia. This is Valerie Helbridge. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure, but a few of the highlights of fishing with us is the protected, calm, pristine waters for quality Chinook salmon all season. After you get your limits of salmon, Queen Charlotte Safari's will take you in our comfortable, covered, heated jet boat to our halibut, lingcod, and rock fishing areas, and we have larger retention than Alaska. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sunspit, and it's so easy to get to. You fly from almost anywhere from the United States and Canada into Vancouver, then a short flight directly to Sunspit. Our trips are all-inclusive, full days of fishing, custom processing, fishing license, and all your gear is provided. Let our expert chefs pamper you with amazing meals. Our staff delivers wonderful hospitality, all in your Queen Charlotte Safari's package. So call me at 1-877-815-2892 or qcsafaris.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. They're master craftsmen and bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Rock Cod Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Kevin Kelly and the crew at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as in the sporties. There's a good reason for it. Fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery. A 2520 SLD pilot house with a $25,000 discount, a 2510 walk around with a $23,000 discount, and a 2320 pilot house with a $15,000 discount, and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedro Sport Fishing, and now also La Bacana Sport Fishing. From world-class yellowtail and calicos at Cedro's to grouper and estuary fishing at La Bacana. Our Cedro's Lodge is nestled on the cliff's edge, and the bungalows at La Bacana are within steps to the Pacific Ocean. Both trips depart through the CBX in San Diego, and the flights are direct. Two awesome destinations with the same great service. What are you waiting for? Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com. Book soon. The trips are going fast.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Rock Todd Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Kevin Kelly and the crew at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it. Fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery. A 2520 SLD pilot house with a $25,000 discount, a 2510 walk around with a $23,000 discount, and a 2320 pilot house with a $15,000 discount, and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and Rick having an absolute fun time this morning, and lines are full, but if you want to get in and have your chance of winning that awesome assortment of Seaguar fluorocarbon, it's all the blue label, pink, and gold, give us a shout, 213-432-1090, having a fun time with John Connor from the island.
Yeah, this has been awesome. Phones are packed up. Let's just jump right back into them.
Let's do it, Rick. Rich from Camarillo. Good morning. Welcome to the show this morning, Rich.
Morning, everyone. My question is, what knot do you prefer when you're connecting your fluorocarbon to monoliter, and does the knot vary depending on the pound test?
I think that with knots, again, there's a lot of good ones, and it's just more important to tie a good knot and tie it correctly than say this is the only way to go. But a back-to-back uni, an Albright, that Seaguar knot, there's lots of great ones out there. So I would say find one that works for you, that's easy to tie, and just tie it right. You know, it doesn't matter how fancy of a knot it is. If it's tied incorrectly, it's going to fail. And if it's a good, simple knot that you tie right, just do it. I think that Seaguar is such an easy one to tie a piece of fluorocarbon onto a line. It's hard
that's
to screw it up.
Typically use.
Yeah, and you're hitting it right on the head with me, too. That's the only one that I use when I'm connecting two piece of mono or Florida mono, Seaguar fluoro, the Seaguar knot. Mm-hmm. And that I've never, ever had an issue. Same thing with you, John?
Yeah. Pick one and perfect it.
That's it. Right? Totally.
Stick with one.
Yeah.
Great call, though, for sure, Rich. Appreciate the call very much. Let's jump right back into him, Corey.
Rick, let's talk to Jim. Jim calling from National City. Good morning. Welcome to the show this morning, Jim.
What's up, Big Jim?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Another great show. Actually, I have a couple of questions. The first one's for John. A couple of the other callers kind of already asked you. But how big is your boat, and how many people do you carry? And if I was going to book a trip on your boat, do I go through Fisherman's Landing or do I go through your website? That's my first question. My second question is to Corey. At the beginning of the show, you were talking about those cow beds south and how the water temperature changed. And right in the middle of that, John walked in. Could you elaborate a little more on how that water temperature change south affects that calico bass fishing?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll hit that first because I'll make it quick. water temperatures from Point Loma North are usually, I just say 60, let's lay out 64 degrees like it is now. A lot of times the bait company is making their bait down on the beach from Coronado to the border because the water temp might be 6 degrees colder. You won't get the barracuda, you won't get the bonito on it, the bait tucks in. And you go beyond that, and the water, it just, John can touch on it, there's upwelling in Ensenada Bay, Salsapuedes, and that zone, the water rolls over, could be 10 degrees colder than it is
That's
up
crazy.
Here. It's just the way it is. And so try catching a bass in 55-degree water versus 65. It's two totally different. John's laughing because it's...
Back in the day when we used to fish the coast a lot more,
yeah.
You know, fishing's tough offshore, or maybe it's great offshore, and you've cut limits, and then you're going to slide into Punta San Jose and
catch
around
yellow,
in there, yeah, and
fast.
You're getting closer and closer, and all of a sudden the water's turning brown, and it's 8 degrees colder. Same thing down at Colnett. You could be fishing in beautiful, crystal, clear blue water, and all right, we're going to go in and hit the high spot, and then you're 2 miles outside the high spot, the water drops 10 degrees and turns green, and it's just... It's dead.
You're licking your chops because in your mind you're thinking, here's this coast that hardly anybody fishes,
yeah.
And we're going to slide in here and just nail these things.
But you go back time and time again because definitely some of the most amazing fishing I've seen has been in that zone.
Yeah.
And for you too, probably.
Yeah, oh yeah. You get in there when conditions are right and it's, holy cow, there's this little hidden gem.
Exactly. Here. So that's the allure, but... The reality is...
The consistency isn't there like it is up above.
That's exactly it.
Okay.
From Point Loma North, it's a completely different ocean.
Got it.
Yeah.
Now, how about booking the Islander, John? How do we do it?
So to answer your first question, the boat is 85 feet by 24 feet, and we sleep... Well, we carry on our day and a half trip, we carry 31, and then we go down from there. I think our trips right now are 2.5 days. We're taking 26 people.
Jeez.
So it's anywhere from like 25 to 30 people, depending on the length of the trip. And to book an open trip, you call Fisherman's Landing at 619-221-8500. And for charters or anything like that, you can go to our website or you can call our office for that.
Cool. We appreciate the phone call, Jim, very much. This is a good text. It kind of expands on the same thing from Hills. Love fishing off of the big wooden boats like the Islander. Can you talk about the galley layout and the fine dining that you provide on the Islander?
Sure. So the galley, what do we see? Your seat, 6, 6, 12. I think we seat 18 per seating, and the galley is laid out a little bit different than some boats where a lot of boats have the cooking area up in the bow of the boat. Ours is right on the starboard side when you walk in the door. So it's got a really, really nicely laid out cooking area with awesome commercial grade cooking equipment, but it's a comfortable galley. Offer a lot of really, really good craft beers and wine on board. We've got a soda machine.
Craft beer. You kind of
think everybody does now.
Yeah?
You know? Yeah, we hooked up with the guys over at MyCast, so we've been serving MyCast for the last few years. I think things have changed in a lot of the galleys, you know, where instead of it just being straight Bud Light and Coors Light, you know, everybody's up their game a little bit, and there's so much more to offer these days. And as far as the food goes, you know, we do... all our meals are included on the boat, so we set up the menu. That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and it's...
Even on the open party trips?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll make calls for each, and everybody comes in and has a seat, and we take care of serving you guys everything. We make our bread fresh every day, so you have that every night for dinner, and then the guys prepare something warm to eat mid-morning and mid-afternoon. So the guy, Mike, that's cooking for us right now is a very, very good chef. Lot of experience both on land and at sea, so he prepares very, very good food, and not a problem if you got special diets or special needs as far as that goes. We can take care of that as well.
That's awesome, man. Great, well said.
Well, very well put.
Got me fired up to go. Yeah, you got it. Well, let's jump back onto the phones, Corey.
Let's do it, Rick. Todd from Costa Mesa. Thanks for joining us this morning, Todd.
What's up, Todd?
Hey guys, love the show. Thanks for having me on. Hey, I've got two questions. One for John on the Islander and one tackle question for Rick. Question for John, you know, fishing's changed over the last 10 years. I wanted to hear your input on trolling and how trolling is part of your strategy on your boat. And Rick, question on of a reels. Can you talk about the advantages on the Tranks versus the Torium Star Drag reel for like surface irons?
Cool.
Yeah, trolling has changed a lot. It's that used to be like one of the key indicators back in, you know, when we were fishing albacore. I mean, you wouldn't think about driving around without a trolling feather. I mean, I can remember a couple of trips when I worked on the Royal Star. We'd leave on a five-day trip, and we'd slide trollers back during our travel day, and you'd get a blind jig strike, and 300 albacore later, you're back on your way to wherever you were headed. A little bit different now. I mean, we kind of watched things, you know, when that albacore, before it basically disappeared, there were a couple of years there where you couldn't get a jig strike on albacore. You know, you turn on these schools, and where you typically get a three- or four-way on the jigs, you wouldn't get a bite, and it's weird how that kind of tapered off. And then we got into this bluefin thing. When we're driving around fishing, a lot of the time we still keep the trollers out. Every year I think maybe we troll up two or three bluefin tuna. But you can drive over these mega schools and spin circles and throw bait, and 99.9% of the time you're not going to get a strike on the jigs. And, you know, with this kind of fishing where we're like tracking big schools, or we're trying to run on breezers and we're throwing bait and spinning, a lot of times when there's fish around, we'll just bring the trollers in. They just get in the way. And, you know, you slide on a school, and you know you're not going to get jig bits, so nobody's winding in the trollers, and the crew's back there winding them in, et cetera, et cetera. So I would say that we rely on those far less nowadays. But when we get into yellowfin, and if we're kelp fishing, we definitely have them out all the time. We get a lot of jig strikes going around kelps. You know, you get Dorado jig strikes. We still catch a lot of fish with trolling rods, but when it's just straight bluefin fishing, they don't play a very important part anymore
but
for us.
But it probably will, like when you mentioned, like with the albacore fishery, you know, and it's not that they disappeared. I mean, you mentioned they disappeared. They disappeared from our local water. But very likely one of these years they're going to drop down, because they have been very far up north, you know. When they do drop down, that troll game might be
one of the key ingredients. And like I said, if we're cruising around, they're out, because you never know.
Why
you know,
not,
it's
right.
not. It's just when we get in that scenario where we're, you know, especially if it's close quarter fishing and there's big schools around, and
easy to see on the sonar, you know?
Yeah, like we'll leave them in and we'll just constantly stick to business.
I'm glad I've been around just long enough to see a milk crate tied to the back of every boat. You know, like when the boat line gear, like there was a time when like there was, you know, you didn't look at a single sport boat where there wasn't a milk crate and a sinker and an albacore feather like tied to the stern corner of each boat, you know, all the way across the dock.
The only thing you wouldn't see is if it was getting bit, you would never see that jig.
See the decoy, you know.
Exactly.
In terms of your reels too, the difference between a Tranks and a Torium, a lot of it obviously it's in the makeup of the reel. The Tranks being a low profile, Torium being a traditional open style conventional reel. The construction of the frame slightly different. The Tranks, I think, is a really, really user-friendly, great surface iron casting reel. Lots of people have their different opinions on it, but the reality is that is a fantastic casting reel. It's very user-friendly because of two things. It has a level wind, so the line is always stacked perfect, and it has a variable braking system on the left-hand side, which makes it very easy to cast. If you're using a scenario where you want to cast Power Pro off the reel, Power Pro is not easy to cast, or not as easy to cast in a surface iron situation with a traditional open round reel like a Torium. The fact that it's level wind, and the fact that the spool breaks on the left-hand side, and it's coming off of the reel going through the level wind, it just allows braid to cast a whole lot easier. Torium is a lot lesser expensive and still a great surface iron option. I think the Torium for the budget is the best surface iron reel out there. It's
A lot of the boys use it.
$250 bucks for a fantastic casting, great drag, good gears. I mean, it's a really, really good choice. So budget-minded, I love it. I think the Tranks, if you're casting into the wind, or you're casting a popper, or you're fishing a thing where you want to fish straight braid, it's a no doubter choice. Both really good reels. Tranks not as easy on the budget, but it's a really, really good casting reel. And I hope those help for you. Why don't we fire back into them, Corey?
Let's do it, Brian from Wildemar. Good morning. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
What's up, Brian?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Good morning.
All right, cool. You picked me up. All right, John, I respect your operation, and it's great and wholeheartedly, but you're going to be like, why did this guy have to call during my show? I've got a question that's kind of a sensitive matter, and just maybe a suggestion for Ken Franke or Frank Lopresti. I've got a son who's 13 years old, and he's tired of going on half days and tired of going on three-quarter days. He's ready to step up to a day and a half or something overnight. And I'm a single father of raising three kids, single income. It's hard for me to justify the cost of a day and a half paying for two people. And I didn't know what I was thinking was every boat has the right to overbook by one. And I was wondering if the boats could get together with SAC and say, hey, let's overbook by one, give a father and son, father and daughter, ages 13 to 18, a break.
I mean, great points, right, John? But I mean, I'm on the side here, and I could speak for John. John is in business, and the rest of the boats. And I mean, you do a lot of what would you call it? Like for Friends of Rollo, and
yeah, I mean, we did a Friends of Rollo trip last year.
Let me say this too, and not to talk over you, John. But just to add to the mix for Brian also, fuel expense is like through the roof at this point, you know? And it hasn't been more, it has. But it's.
Yeah, no, it's
I get
crazy.
It. Yeah.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, I'm sympathetic. I've got kids of my own, and I know how expensive things are, and fishing is not a cheap endeavor by any means. And, you know, we look at our pricing very closely every year, and I know it is out of some people's range, but I mean,
but
I can tell you as far as what we charge, when the pie gets cut up and I take my piece home, it's I'm not a millionaire.
You're not getting a big slice?
Yeah, that being said, again, I'm sympathetic to your situation. I think, you know, maybe that's not a bad idea to try to start something like that that makes fishing more accessible to people that are having challenges as far as the cost goes. And maybe that is a discussion that you or somebody could have with Ken, and maybe we, you know, come up with some.
Yeah, we got Captain Frank Lopresti on the show tomorrow. Might be a good thing to bring up. Like,
yeah, it's, you know, maybe if it's some program where all the boats sharing. I, you know, honestly, off the cuff, I don't really know the answer to that. I know that people have, you know, called me privately when they're coming out on a trip and they have some challenge as far as that goes, and we've made accommodations to help out with that.
Yeah, it's not a bad question, Brian, but it's not an easy one to answer either. You know, there's limited spots, and you know, a guy like John, you have X amount of spots to get to sell throughout the year, and yeah, I get like we all get all sides. You know, you've got a great crew. We've had so many people talk about how the crew is. Like you say, there's a lot of people that, you know, that need every dollar that does get spent. So it's just not one of those things that has an easy answer to it for sure. But I really appreciate the call, Brian, and love the fact that you're
a single father.
You're coming from wanting to take your kids fishing. So I get every bit of it, and I think that was well said, and we appreciate the phone call very much. Speaking of the crew, a great text came through. This one was from Mike in Mount Shasta. I've been fishing on the Islander for a number of years, and I can state unequivocally that everything about the boat is top-notch, particularly the crew, which I believe to be the best in the fleet. Is there a better deckhand than Steve? I haven't met him yet. John always seems to make the right calls where and when we fish and is not afraid to make the long run if that's what it takes. First class operation in all facets. That was from Mike in Mount Shasta.
Yeah, you know, and before we answer that, going back to the last guy.
Yeah, no, please.
Dude, go to my website and look up our office number. Just give us a call. You know,
talking about Brian. Brian
just
called in, yeah.
Just because you actually called in. Just give us a call, and we'll see if we have one of these light trips where I can work something out.
Oh, how cool is that, John? John, that is seriously from
the heart. Yeah, no, I get it.
Yep, all good. That's cool.
Is there a better deckhand than Steve? Probably not. I don't know. That's an interesting question. Steve is very, very good. Steve's been with me for a long time. I've known Steve for 20 years, and he's been around, and he is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to tackle, and he knows what to do when there's a bunch of big bluefin hanging. He's very, very good. Don't catch him on the wrong day. He might be a little snarky, but he's an excellent deckhand.
One of my most favorite people also, and same going back to being a passenger fishing on the Royal Star, one thing about Steve is he is extremely calm in somebody's big fish scenario. And, you know, we all, it's so easy to talk about it and, like, think about what a big deal it is. But, you know, you do get tense when that time is coming. It's nice to have somebody that's so calm and able to relax and work you through a big one. So a great text, very much. All right. Well, with that said, we're going to find out what lucky caller is going. We've got our prize coming up here in just a quick sec. So lots of great Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, and we're going to read that in just a real quick one. And again, Brian, thanks a lot for the phone call. We're getting a little message from Andrew there. So again, big winner of the Seaguar Fluorocarbon. Corey?
How about that? He's going to be so stoked with this Seaguar pack of the gold, the blue, the pink is Todd. Todd from Costa Mesa. Congratulations.
Yeah, Todd, congratulations. That. And John, great info today. This was so much fun. We're so stoked having you in here from the Islander. And, man, so much great stuff to cover. It's crazy how fast 2 hours blows by. But if somebody wants to come fishing with you, wants to book a trip, get in all the great stuff that you do, how do we do it?
For all of our open trips, you can call Fisherman's Landing at 619-221-8500, or you can go to their website and book online at fishermanslanding.com. Or if you're interested in a charter date or one of the other trips we do, you can call our office at 619-224-4388.
Awesome. Great information, great times, and again, we appreciate you taking the time. Really, really fun, and boy, all the accolades came for a reason. You guys do a great job. Boat looks fantastic, and we certainly look forward to fishing with you very much for that. And Corey, great time this morning talking with you. Lots of fun on the show. We're going to be back tomorrow. Another great show coming for you. Captain Frank Lepresti from the Royal Polaris is going to be joining us. All kinds of great information to talk about. You stay tuned. We're going to be back here tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.